Turtle Creek Boulevard is in a very fashionable area of Dallas, Texas, the town that is my hometown. Turtle Creek runs out north of Dallas and in one of the more fashionable areas, and alongside Turtle Creek, on either side, or on one side at least, maybe both sides, there is a boulevard. People who live there have traditionally been very wealthy people. And one day, a little boy was walking down beside Turtle Creek, and he fell into the creek and was drowning. A man driving down beside the creek looked out and heard the screams and saw the boy drowning. He stopped his car, got out of the car, took off his coat, and with his trousers and shoes and shirt and tie on, he jumped into the creek and drug the boy to safety and saved the boy's life. The newspaper reporter put it this way: little boy thanked him, and as he was getting his composure, and as the man had given him artificial respiration and got him back to breathing and back to normal, somewhat normal, so where he could converse for a while. And the little boy looked up, and he said, "Sir, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving my life." And the man said, "Son, you're welcome." And very tersely he said, "Now you see to it that your life was worth saving." He got in the car and drove away with that statement: "Thank you for saving my life. Now you see to it your life is worth saving." I've been looking around the audience tonight, and I've been noticing people that who are very, 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 very dedicated to Christ. I've been looking at couples who are married. Many of you, I played Cupid for you. I told you about her and told her about you. And in some cases, many cases, I'd ask you to come to my office, ask both of you to come to my office, and neither of you knew the other. And I'd say, "Joe, you meet Mary. Mary, you meet Joe. Joe, I wanted you to meet Mary. Mary, I wanted you to meet Joe. Now, Joe and Mary, go out in the hall and talk for 5 minutes. I don't care what else you do. If you never talk again, but you talk for 5 minutes. Joe, think of something to say. Mary, you answer him back and get out there and talk for 5 minutes." You'd be amazed what that little 5-minute talk has done. Now, after the service tonight, I'll have a long line of Marys waiting for me at the office door. But I've been looking around and seeing you sit there, and in some cases, children beside you, and other cases, my dozens of cases where I've played Cupid and tried to help you find the will of God concerning a mate. And others of you, I've seen you grow up. You're my kids. You've grown up here in the church. I was your pastor when you were a child, and so forth. And really, you're what makes it worthwhile. You know, when you plant a vineyard and put it on a good, high, fruitful spot, and then you build a bridge or a hedge around it and a wall around it, and then you take all the stones out, and then you work on it, and you try to put that vineyard with another good vineyard. That's what I'm talking about, trying to get you vineyards all tied up, your branches together. And that's after you get married. Keep your branches off each other till after you get married. And but anyway, I don't even want your leaves touching. But anyway, I don't mind your leaves fluttering a little bit, but in the wind. But anyway, you get married and so forth, and that makes it worthwhile. That's what it's all about. Now, here's the tragic story of this parable. The first thing I want you to notice is this. You put the vine dresser put the vine in a very fruitful high place. Please, no talking now. I'm preaching to you, and I want you to listen to what I got to say. I hate to stop and point to anybody, but folks behind you would like to listen, and I've got some things to say to you. When I prepare a meal, I don't want you sitting at the table not eating. So you sit there and listen now. I got some things to say to you. You can make love after a while, and so forth. But anyway, put you in a fruitful hill. That's the first thing this vine dresser did. He put the vine in a fruitful hill. May I say that's what I've tried to do for you? Did you know that you folks in this room tonight are in the most fruitful hill in the entire world? Did you know that you are planted in what may be the most fruitful hill in the history of the New Testament church? I said this morning, I got curious the other day as to how many converts this church has had in the last 20 years almost since I've been here. And I was amazed to find that in the 20 years nearly that I've been pastor of this church, 190,967 people, that's through last year, through last December, 190,967 people have walked down the aisles in First Baptist Church of Hammond receiving Christ as Savior. I was amazed to find that 60,863 people have been baptized in this baptistry or the ones over here in the other buildings when we met over there before this building was finished. Now, 60,863. I'm saying if you do not turn out right here, heavy, heavy hangs over your head. You're placed on a fruitful hill. You're placed on the most fruitful hill. You know, the Bible says, woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! Woe unto you, Tyre! Woe unto you, Sidon! If the works that had been done in you have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago. It shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for you, that wicked city torn by sodomy, that wicked city torn by homosexuality, that wicked city where the men of the city wanted to rape the angels that came, and that wicked, vile city where men burned in their bodies toward men, and women lusted after women, and God got so fed up with it, God rained fire out of heaven and destroyed the whole city with fire and brimstone. Really what God did, God sent some hell out of heaven and caused that hell to burn fire and brimstone upon Sodom. And yet, Jesus said, woe unto you, Chorazin, you've seen my works. Woe unto you, Bethsaida, you've seen me perform miracles. Woe unto you, Tyre, you've seen me, heard me preach. Woe unto you, Sidon, you've seen me personally. You've heard me preach. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen me cast out devils. You've seen me still the storm. You've seen me calm the wave. You've seen me cause the lame to leap. You've seen me cause the dead to live. Now he said, you've seen more. He said, woe unto you. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you that sit in these pews every Sunday, you are more obligated to turn out right than those that do not. You have seen more than, you have seen more than any church has seen in the history of the United States of America or any other country, unless it was Jerusalem, and you may have seen more people saved in this auditorium than the Christians in Jerusalem saw in the first century. Let me tell you something, young people. You turn out bad here, heavy, heavy is going to hang over your head. It'll be more tolerable for these kids over here who've not been in this church very long and don't have Christian parents and don't have a Christian school, and have not seen all these people saved. It'll be more tolerable for these kids over here, or kids that walk the streets of Hammond, or the streets of Chicago, and nobody cares, and nobody loves. They never heard a gospel sermon, never saw a baptismal service, never saw a Lord's Supper service, never had anybody greet for them, never been to Sunday school, girls never wore a dress, and boys never had a haircut, and they're on dope and liquor. If they turn out bad, they will not be punished as much as you. Why? Because you've seen what God has done. You've seen these people saved. You've been on a very fruitful hill, and God's going to hold you more accountable. Now, you listen to me. It's worse for a man in this church to go bad than it is for any other church in the world. It's worse for a woman to go bad in this church than for any other church in the world. It's worse for a man to turn to liquor in this church than any other church in the world. It's worse for a person to go out in immorality in this church than any other church in the world. It's worse for a fellow to be a homosexual in this church than any other church in the world. It's worse for a young person to turn out right and in this church than any other church in the world. I got a letter last week from a young man who grew up in this church. One of our finest young man. If I called his name, hundreds of you would know him. He quit coming to church on Sunday night. He didn't think he needed church on Sunday night anymore. He was a student at Howells Anderson College. He grew up in this church, went to Howells Anderson College, and quit going to church on Sunday night, and soon had gone into sin, and then was convicted for a horrible, unbelievable, at least been indicted, and I guess maybe convicted, I'm not sure, for a horrible, unbelievable crime, a series of them. And tonight, that boy is in jail. He wrote me a letter and said, I've been in jail for 43 days. He said, I played the fool. He's almost 7,000 people baptized last year alone. More than twice as many baptisms as any other church in America. And now listen to me. If you don't turn out right, if you go into sin, God's wrath and God's judgment is going to rest on you many times more than people that have not had the privileges that you've had. Woe unto you, backslider! Woe unto you, social drinker who attends First Baptist Church! Woe unto you, loose liver who attends First Baptist Church! Woe unto you, dope head that attends First Baptist Church! Woe unto you, profane language user that attends First Baptist Church! Woe unto you, backslider that attends First Baptist Church! If the works that had been done in First Baptist Church had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long time ago. You hear me? You hear me well. God's got a special wrath reserved for you. There is a special punishment reserved for you. There is a special portion of God's wrath and God's judgment reserved for you. Don't you take it lightly, brother, when you come to First Baptist Church and see these aisles fill, and see these altars fill, and see this water trouble week after week after week after week, like no other church in the history of Christianity. Don't you take it lightly. If you don't turn out right, there's a special kind of wrath and judgment God's going to pour down on you. That's the first thing. First thing is, the vine was planted in a very fruitful place. But there's something else, and that is, the vine was fenced. A fence built around that little vine. Why? Not only did this vine dresser want his vine to be in a very fruitful place, a very fruitful hill, in a high spot where the sunshine would get there first, where the refreshing showers would get there first, where the air was crisp and proper for raising grapes. But none of that. He said, I'm going to build a wall around you. I'm going to build a hedge around you. And that's exactly what we've done here at First Baptist Church Hammond. Do you know, there's not a church in the world that's done more to build a hedge around you so the devil can't get to you than the First Baptist Church in Hammond has done. We have built every kind of hedge in the world. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to the devil. You don't have to have a wrecked life. You don't have to be a casualty in the army against the evil one. You don't have to be. We have spent millions of dollars. We have spent millions of hours. We have spent dollars and time and effort and tears and work and heartache and bloodshed even, to see to it that you have a wall built around you. We have a wall built around you in education. You don't have to have some heathen teacher stand up and say that you used to be a monkey or your ancestors were apes. You don't have to do it. We built a wall around you, so you don't have to do it. You don't have to go to a place where if you don't dance in gym, you're ostracized. They laugh at you. We built a wall around you about that. You don't have to go to a place where you're dressed in a nude or half nude and wear your miniskirt and your slacks to school and your long hippie hair. You don't have to do that. We built a wall around you. You don't have to go to a place where dozens and scores of the young people take dope. Why? We built a wall around you. You don't have to go to a place where folks smoke cigarettes in the school or have a smoking room where the folks go. You don't have to do that. We built a wall around you. You don't have to go to a place where folks laugh at this book. We built a wall around you. You don't have to go to a place where folks laugh at Jesus and the old time gospel. We built a wall around you. A wall around your education. We built a wall around your recreation. You can go to a basketball game where prayer is offered before the game. I do not go to the games regularly. If prayer is not offered, we ought to start offering prayer before the game. We ought not to have a tip-off without asking God's blessings. And we built a wall around you. We built a wall where there's no athletic scandal. If an athlete, if he doesn't obey the rules, I don't care if he's a star player. Out he goes. And I want to tell you something. I know two or three things about some of you basketball players, and you're not going to make the season unless a miracle takes place in your life. Don't you think for a minute, fella, that you're going to go out on a date and try to neck some gal and pet some gal and play on our basketball team. I'm doing some investigating right now about some of you basketball players. Now, most of you are good, fine Christian guys. I don't care if you score 40 points a game, get 40 rebounds, and make the All-American team. Out you go if you don't behave yourself. You never get by with it here. Why? We didn't build these schools around here to let the foxes in. We built these schools to keep the foxes out. And that's the wolves, too, by the way. We built a fence. We fenced around educationally, recreation. We built a fence around you for your dates. We've made it possible where you can have good dates if you want them. We've made it possible for there to be a school where most of the people believe the Bible. And most of the young ladies are clean and pure. And most of the young men are chaste and right and proper and clean and pure. We've made it that way. We've spent tens of thousands of human hours. We've spent hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of dollars. Why? To build that fence around you. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't turn out right, only God in heaven knows what He's going to do for you. God has a special cup of His indignation all filled to pour out on you. How dare you? How dare you live inside our fence? How dare you accept our fruitful hill? How dare you live inside our protection from the foxes and from the wild animals that will destroy your life? When we've done everything we can, how dare you take that and then not turn out right? God said, listen, if you'll check carefully, when God looked down after He had done all this, this vine dresser and all this, He saw the fruitful hill. He saw the fence around the vine. And He saw the tower there that He built, and the stones all thrown away, and planted the vine close to a great, good, grape-bearing vine. And after all He had done, He looked down and tasted the grapes, and the grapes were wild, sour, bitter grapes. And the vine dresser said, I'll tear down the wall! I'll not let it rain! I'll throw the stones back in! I'll leave you alone! Why? Because God's not going to let you stay inside the protective wall of the First Baptist Church of Hammond and its ministries and turn out wild grapes and wild people. God's not going to let you get by with it without some very special punishment. Now listen to me. Listen. I'm not talking about anybody. I never preach about people's punishment. If judgment comes, I never get up here and say, that was for judgment. In the first place, I don't know it's for judgment. I do not know why God does what He does. But you mark it down. You grow up in First Baptist Church, Hammond, in that fruitful hill, with that wall around you, with those thorns and thistles around your protection, and you turn out to be wild, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you end up in the penitentiary or the jail like this young man did. Don't be surprised when you have two or three little babies buried in baby land. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you have early cancer. I'm simply saying, I believe there is a God in heaven. And I believe that God has built here and led us to build a place where it is the easiest place in the world to grow up and turn out right. And if you take the protection of this place, and you enjoy the wall around, and you enjoy what we've done, and you don't turn out right, you mark it down. As sure as God be God, God's judgment's going to fall on you. I said it before, I'll say it again. There are half a dozen families in this church. I've got their names written down in my office. I am pronouncing God's judgment on you. God's going to judge you. I know He is. I know it as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit. There are half a dozen families in this church. You've gotten so floozy now, you think you're too good for our schools. You think your boy or girl is above our schools. Let me tell you something, brother. Anywhere you go from First Baptist Church Hammond or Hammond Baptist High School, you go down. You don't go up. I'm simply saying, if you do not get some sense in your head and shake yourself good and do something before God's hand of judgment comes, I'll guarantee you, I know this is true. If Jack Hiles is a man of God, he knows it's true. God's wrath is going to fall on some of you parents. Couple took their baby and left the church. Because they didn't think the nursery was worthy of their baby. In the first place, the nursery of First Baptist Church Hammond is the model nursery for every fundamental church in America is about. In the second place, you're an idiot. An idiot. Go ahead. Go ahead. Follow your affluency. Go ahead. Look down on this brand of... I don't know what your trouble is. You just don't want to bear the stigma of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. And that's what you don't want to do. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for you folks who've been here in this fenced-in place. Fenced in from rock music. You, listen, you don't have to hear rock music growing up in First Baptist Church Hammond.
If you do it, it's because your own rebellious, sinful, wicked, hippie heart. You don't have to hear it. Why? We built a fence around it. While I'm there, I want to say again, there is nothing, listen to me, there is nothing in America more satanic, hellish, evil, wicked, vile, and communist than rock music is. Nothing. Nothing. And when you grew up in First Baptist Church of Hammond, and we have built this wall around you, you mark it down, God Almighty is going to give you a little baby one of these days in baby land. God's going to place a cancer in your lung. God is not dead. And if God is not dead, God judges sin. We built a wall. The public schools in this area, their football teams play, they travel from Hammond Tech to Hammond Clark. Or they travel from Munster to Highland. When the football team, Hammond Baptist High School, plays, it travels from this area, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Or Nashville. Or Louisville. Not a football team in this area gets the privileges our football team has. Not a basketball. Listen, basketball team in public schools in this state never play outside the state. Let's just go over here in Chicago and play a game or two. They play locally. They play the regional, the sectional, the regional, semi-state, so forth, and on down to Indianapolis for state championship, and that's it. Basketball players of Hammond Baptist High School get to go to Chattanooga for a tournament. They go to Louisville, Kentucky to play. They go to Wisconsin to play. They make many, many trips to play. I'm simply saying you don't have to sacrifice a thing to go to Hammond Baptist schools. In fact, you get some things other schools don't have. We built a wall around it. And by the way, we don't allow. We built a wall around you. No miniskirts are allowed. No cheerleaders are allowed to come on the floor of Hammond Baptist High School gymnasium. I don't care what school it is, whether they like it or not. They obey our own dress code or they don't perform on our court. By the way, if I ever hear that's not enforced, somebody's going to have an awful lot to pay. First time I hear some visiting cheerleaders coming out there, showing their thighs, and doing their splits, and whirling their skirts up, and showing their thighs, you've got one guy that's going to come out there and lock up a gymnasium! We're not going to act like heathen. That's why we built that gymnasium out there. Why? To build a wall. You say, I don't like that. You haven't got to like it, but as long as my name's on the sign out there, or on the stationery, or on letterhead, you've got to put up with it. This is my convocation speech. Miles Anderson College, too. I want you new students to know that you're not in the pink tea lemonade party here. I want you to know that we're gonna take a stand. I want you to know right now, if you don't like it, the road is two-way that brought you here. And that goes to everybody teachers here, too. I'll ship you down to Texas with this like I did him. I told him he couldn't wear those shorts in public. We built a wall. A wall around you. No liquor can get in it. No pornographic literature can get in it. No dirty magazines. No dope can get in it. No new morality can get in it. You're more accountable. There's something else we've done. Not only have, after we built this fence around you, we've gathered the stones from within the fence and thrown them over the fence. We keep watch all the time. Not only have we built a fence so liquor can't get in, if we see any liquor on the inside, out it goes and out goes the fellow that drank it. Not only have we built a wall where dope can't get in, but if any dope comes in, out goes the dope and out goes the dope that took the dope. Why? All the stones outside the walls. I'll throw away. Why? We're trying to make you turn out right. We're trying to have a vineyard here that turns out good grapes. That's why, not wild grapes.
He built a wall to keep homosexuality out. He finding homosexuality in. But I want to say this now. Listen carefully. Dr. Evans will vouch for this. If we find that you're guilty of homosexuality and you are in any of our schools, not only will you be expelled, but you will never return. Why?
Well, you sit in the house. That's not the Spirit of Christ.
Oh, is it not? You check the thing that caused God's final irrefutable judgment to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you hear me, and you hear me well. We're not going to put up with a gay crowd inside the confines of First Baptist Church and its ministries. Now the best thing you do, if you're gay, you better have your gay old time outside our walls before we found out you're on the inside and we throw you out the other stone. I'd suggest that you very quietly tiptoe out. And you say, now, wait a minute, preacher. That doesn't show the Spirit of Christ. I see. That shows you got two holes in your head instead of one. You check the Bible. When the Israelites, when the Old Testament, not one homosexual could ever come inside the camp. Not one. They're always outside the camp. There's nothing in this world as rotten, listen to me, as rotten, as filthy, and as vile, and as near the ultimate of vulgarity and sin as is sex between the same sex. Nothing. It is the final step into deep sin. So, we've gathered out the stones. Now, don't you see what I'm trying to say? We found a very high, fruitful hill, and there we have planted you. Then we have built a fence around you to keep the evil one from attacking. And then we have built the briars around you to keep the little foxes from coming and destroying your life. And then you've taken all the stones from inside the wall and thrown those stones on the outside so that you might have here a haven in which you can grow up. And if you turn out bad, listen to me, if you turn out bad, you've never seen God's wrath in your life. Look, God is not going to punish. Hey, kids over here. Look at me. These kids over here, they're here tonight in this service. You are more accountable for doing right. If you leave this place now and go out, listen to me, and go out and live in sin and sleep with a bunch of, but you fellows sleep with some gal or you gals sleep with some boy, listen to me, or you go out and get drunk or take dope, you mark it down. You are more accountable before God Almighty than before you ever walked inside this church. Now, listen to me. God is going to judge. Listen, you've heard. Now, you may have, under this time, had some fellow stand up in the pulpit that spoke in Latin. They called him Father. He dressed like a mother. And you may have been up there. That may be all you've heard. Some little namby-pamby, sissified, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now, time of our death, blah, blah, blah. That may be all you've heard. But bless God, you've heard a prophet now. And you've heard the truth now. And I'm not talking Latin. I'm talking hillbilly where you can understand it. Young ladies, if you're not clean, heavy is going to hang over your head because now you know better. If you don't wear decent dresses, heavy is going to hang over your head because now you know better. Young men don't get haircuts, heavy is going to hang over your head because now you know better. But just as sure as heavy hangs over your head, more heavy hangs over your head because you've known better since you were in the nursery. It'll be more tolerable for you than for these kids and for you. That isn't all. Not only have we taken and placed you in a fruitful hill, a spot nearer the sun, where the air is fresher, and built a wall and a hedge around you for your protection. Not only have we taken the stones on the inside of that wall and thrown those stones out, but we have also placed you near the choicest vines. The best, some of the best Christians in this world are sitting in the same room with you tonight. We've given you good company. A couple right back here, you've talked enough, fella. In just a minute, you're going to walk out that door. Now, I happen to have something to tell you, and if you don't want to hear, the folks behind you do. Now, you do your petting outside the church. I'm saying, we have given you the best company. Listen, there's not one single teacher on our faculties that does not believe this book and tell folks about the Savior this book's about. If we have one teacher on our faculty that takes one drink of liquor, we find out about it, he's gone. We're placing you close to good vines, the choicest vines. If we find out that one member of our faculty, if I can ever have it proved that one member of our faculty smokes a cigarette, he will not go to class the next day. Why? Because I'm going to see to it that these parents that have given their life savings to make this church a reality and make our schools a reality, I'm going to see to it they did not waste their money. I'm the custodian of millions of dollars. Our people have invested and given their life's blood, and I'm going to see to it that their kids are near the choicest vines we can find. And if you're a smoking vine or a homosexual vine or a drinking vine, best thing you'd do is transplant yourself in a hurry before we have to do it for you. We're going to place you with goodly vines. Principles, finest in the world. I mean, not only qualified men who are principals, but spiritual men, soul-winning men. Faculty members of the college, same way. Administrators of the college, same way. If a young person who goes to a government school and has, as I did when I was in college, an adulterer, a whoremonger teaching me algebra, who stood up in college classroom and told about his affairs week after week, and the different women he had taken to motels, and laughed about it. If a student goes to that kind of situation, and he goes to a school, a government school, where the teachers drink and smoke and curse, and don't believe the Bible, and believe in evolution, and if that person doesn't turn out right, he is not nearly under God's hand of judgment like you folks are who've grown up here. Why? Not only have we found a high place, a good fruitful hill, not only have you seen all these people saved, not only have we built a wall of protection, not only have we taken the stones and thrown them out, but we have brought the choicest plants in America where you can grow up by those plants. That isn't all we've done. We built a tower. And I have discharged the responsibility of sitting in that tower to nobody but myself. And I sit above every ministry of this church. And I watch it like a hawk. I don't have to meet every week with Dr. Evans for an hour and a half and sometimes more. I could say to Dr. Evans, you run the college and I won't even bother you. But I'm not about to do that. Because I'm sitting in the tower. When I find something going on at the college that's not right, I'm going to immediately jump down off that tower or call Dr. Evans up to the tower and say, Dr. Evans, here's something I've seen from the tower. I could let Mr. Staub run the high school, say it's all yours. By the way, these men will tell you they don't have any serious interference from me. They'll tell you that they pretty well run their schools, but I always reserve the right to watch from the tower. Why? Because I am the custodian of your funds. I'm the custodian of your sacrifice. And I'm the custodian of your children. And you have no idea how I watch from the tower. I talked to Mr. Staub this morning after the service about something that I felt like I had seen from the tower. We ought to correct. He agreed with me, of course, because he and I see eye to eye. And because he likes to eat. We never have any fusses or fights. We never have any arguments because we have the same philosophy. And the only difference is they're down there on the battlefield where sometimes they can't see. I'm the guy in the press box that looks down and sees the secondary and the kind of play you might could run. Or I see the flaw in our own defense.
or our own attack. And I called the coach down on the scene. And I said, look, from up in the press box, I've seen something. I think you ought to know. And the coach says, what is it? And I tell him, and he changes it. Why? Why? Why do I do it? Why?
Because I'm cantankerous? No, sir. Because I want my way? No, sir. Because I want power? No, sir. I do it because I want you to turn out right. There are many young people in this world that no one cares whether they turn out right or not. But think what you have. You have the most fruitful tower or hill in the world. You have the solidest wall in the world. You have the safest protection from the little foxes of any place in the world. You have a place that keeps the stones outside of the yard more than any other place in the world. And you have the tower that keeps a constant vigil probably more than any other place in the world. I'm saying again, if you do not live for God, judgment is going to come more on you than it does on the heathen who've never had a chance. And then, the vine dresser, after doing all that, he went out to taste his grapes. He saw those grapes on the vine. He couldn't wait to taste them. He wanted to see if it was worth it all. He wanted to get a taste of the sweet grapes and put the grapes in the wine press and squeeze the juice and drink some sweet grape juice that came from the grapes on the vine. For just one little taste of the grape juice, sweet and refreshing, will make all of it worthwhile. It'll make choosing the time taken to choose that one particular place worthwhile, that fruitful hill. It'll make the time spent with the mortar and stones building that wall worthwhile. It'll make the time spent weaving those thorns and thistles into protective covering worthwhile. It'll make the time spent lifting those stones and throwing those stones outside worthwhile. It'll make the time spent trying to find some good vine that again, close to which you can grow worthwhile. It'll make all the sleepless nights spent in the tower watching and watching and watching worthwhile. And so he smiles and walks up, takes the first grape off the vine. Sour. Wild. And the vine dresser said, what more could I have done? What more could I have done? And so have we. We deserve more. Listen to me. Every person in this house is me. We deserve more than that dirty, sorry, wicked, vile, anti-Christ party that some of you graduates of Hammond Baptist High School had recently, where you had a liquor party. One fellow found out about it. He was there. He's not turned you in, but I found out he thought about it. And some of you sorry devils said you would get him if he turned you in. Let me tell you something, buddy. Your God saw the whole party. You've done been turned in, buddy. You've been turned in. Thy God seeth thee. You may hide it from Brother Hiles, but you can't hide it from the God of judgment and the God of wrath. You think you're smart, don't you, punk? Think you're smart. You graduates get together and have a liquor party. Yeah! You really... Listen, you haven't got enough guts to fill up a thimble. Not only do you not have any courage, any character, any Christianity, but you're a hide-and-seek sneak, ungrateful. You've taken our wall! You've taken our toil! You've taken our tower!
out of it.
And I want to tell you something. Just hang around a while. Judgment's coming. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. And at that party, a Hiles Anderson student was there drunk. I wish I knew who you were. I wish I knew who you were. You can leave the service. You can get up and walk out. But you won't go where God doesn't see you. Don't you think for a second that God's going to let us invest our lives in building for you the finest place in the world, from the pre-kindergarten to the master's degree, where you can get training with a hedge built around you, the best faculty members we can find, the best Sunday school teachers we can find, the best departmental superintendent you'll find in America. Don't you think for a single minute that God's going to let you get by with taking all we've given you and you flaunting it in your ungodly path of behavior. There is a God! That God sees you. Years ago in Dallas, Texas, I was driving down wee hours of the morning to the hospital. Those days, had a smaller church. I made all the hospital calls. Didn't have all the thousands of members and millions of dollars to raise. In the wee hours of the morning, I was driving down a street called Pacific Avenue in Dallas, going to Baylor Hospital. I saw a man, young man, get out of his car. I saw up in the window above, about in the second floor, I saw obviously a wicked girl motioning for him in the red light prostitute district. I saw that young man get out of his car. Go up to the door. No ports there, just like out here, sidewalk and a door of that house of prostitution. I saw that wicked girl look down and lure him. I saw him stand in the wee hours of the morning, look to the right, look to the left, look across the street. Nobody saw him, he thought. He reached out to touch the doorknob. And I stopped my car and screamed as loud as I could, "Hey, fella, look up! By God, CFE!" You think I hate liquor, you wait till God judges you. You think I hate dope, you wait till God gets through with you. The wild grapes. All the preaching and all the singing and all the planning and all the Sunday school. We deserve more than a man in this church gave us. When I discovered that he had had his daughter take her clothes off and fondled his own daughter. How vulgar can you get? I can't think of anything any rottener than that. Good night! What's wrong with you? Now, if you were a heathen in some island of the Pacific or in the jungles of Africa or a Hottentot or a pagan or illiterate who'd never heard the gospel, never seen a Bible, be different. How in the world can you sit in this church and hear the teaching and preaching and the training that you've got and become so filthy and so vile? We don't mind the toil. I don't mind working day and night. I do not mind not taking vacation, not taking days off. I don't mind the long hours. I don't mind the toil, the tears. But brother, if I'm going to spend my time and the rest of us spend my time trying to save you, you be sure you're worth our time. Some of you folks, young married folks, you treat divorce like it's trading for a new car. As I said, I don't mind it. As long as I can look out as I do tonight and see that 99% of our people in this room make it all worthwhile. Make it all worthwhile. I don't mind working day and night. I don't mind counseling and working during the ball games and not going. though I love sports. I don't mind you spending your time bowling at the college while I figure out how to raise the money, keep the bowling lanes open. I don't mind that. I don't mind sitting in my desk during a basketball tournament and trying to figure out how we can keep the schools open. I don't mind that. I don't mind talking to 145 of you a week and doing my best to see to it that you get the counsel you ought to get. I don't mind that. Until one of you Hiles Anderson students washes up, quits, goes home. Quitter. I said before and I said again. When you quit the school, you quit to go home. Don't come tell me goodbye. I don't want to see you. If you can't take it, if you can't stay in there and take it, don't come by and tell me goodbye. Crawl out of the city in the sewer line. I don't mind it. One of our men goes bad. And I don't mind it. As long as you parents will do your part in helping me rear your child. But parents, how do you expect us to build a hedge around your children when you got that dumb box with a movie on every night inside your house? How do you expect us to do it? And I'm not kidding. I'm dead serious. I doubt if there's a program on during prime time that's worth watching. If you got a television set and you want to turn it on in the afternoon to Andy Griffith, that's okay. But Brother Andy Griffith is history now. It's pretty discouraging. I'm preaching to be heard, folks. It's pretty discouraging. Me to try to build a fence around your family to keep you right. While you got Edge of Night going in the afternoon. And don't you tell me you don't know what's wrong with Edge of Night. Now there's some folks tonight in this room that need to stop and realize exactly the responsibility that you have, added responsibility, because of added privileges. If you are in this church tonight, you are sitting tonight on the most fruitful hill in America, which gives you more responsibility. You are sitting tonight in the confines of the most impregnable wall of mortar and stone and thistle and thorn. There's not a church in the world takes a stand as strong as we do, or stronger. None. None. You're sitting tonight inside the walls where stones are hated and thrown out more than any other yard in America. You're sitting tonight where we do our best, as much as anybody in America, to see to it that you have fruitful plants beside you. If you'll let me say this, there's not a preacher alive who sets as many hours in the tower as I sit. And I do not ask somebody else to sit there. It's like the mayor of Chicago going over there to O'Hara Field tonight and sitting up there in the tower directing planes in. Now, if you're wild grapes, it'll be more tolerable for the heathen who've never heard and the people that don't know any better than for you folks who know better and don't do better. Now the truth is, we need some repenting done in the service tonight. We need some ex-Hammond Baptist students to repent. We need some Hiles Anderson College students to repent. We need some quitters to get some blood in your veins and grit in your craw and strength in your backbone. We need some moms to know that in the afternoon, the television set has a little knob that'll turn off. We need some dads to set some rules about what's watched around the house at night. The young folks in this room tonight is of the finest homes we have. Staying up late at night watching dirty movies not fit for man or beast to watch. It's time some of you parents got some religion. You're throwing the stones back in the yard as fast as I'm throwing them out. It's repenting. Old-fashioned repenting. I mean tears. I mean remorse. Because of the tremendous effort to which we've gone. I look around tonight, I can just spot people all over the building. Made it worthwhile. All over the building. People growing up here made it all worthwhile. I have no idea how proud of you I am. And there's no widespread wicked trend going on in our church. If you let me say this very quickly, one reason I'm proud of you is because I preached to you like this when you were growing up. And you can't get by without it. No way in the world. You can't make it without this kind of preaching. Just can't make it. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight.